Who's the senior vice?
I am in the acting chair until we vote and everything too. So that's what we'll be doing tonight. So do y'all need to do your little meeting notes at the beginning? Do we have a quorum?
More than.
We'll go ahead and read the opening statement, and then since Carol hasn't shown up yet, Robert will go ahead and do the call. We are recording.
Delma, we're having a hard time hearing you, Delma.
It sounds very far away.
I'll go ahead and repeat what Delma said. So we'll open the meeting. I'll read the opening statement. And since Carol is not here yet, I'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. And just for everybody's information, this meeting is being recorded. All right. So for the BAC opening statement, the Veterans Advisory Committee meeting has now commenced. It is December 14th at 6:02 p.m. This meeting is being held virtually due to COVID-19 to allow for social distancing and protect the public health. As we continue our efforts in meeting remotely, we ask all commissioners and guests to mute yourselves until called upon to speak to avoid feedback and background noise. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number, to unmute to speak, dial *6 on your phone. Also, prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. We ask that you only use the chat function to request to speak or to announce that you are leaving the meeting so that we can track quorum. Also, in order to comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio, not by using the chat function. And now, if we can, we'll have roll call. And Carol's not here yet, so chair, acting chair, if it's okay. Martin Belden.
Here.
Gaetan Briceño. Terry Byron.
Present.
Ann Hollis.
Present.
Henry Johnson.
Present.
Rosie Carey.
Present.
Mark Levine. James Lewis.
I am present.
Marlon Ruiz.
Present.
Carol Rundell. Gary Smith.
Present.
Michael St. Ors. And Georgia Weiss.
Mitch Morgan, present.
Thank you. And so there is a quorum.
Excuse me, this is Terry Byron. Carol is having trouble logging in. She says somebody needs to let her in.
While we're waiting on that, can we do the invocation then? Rosie?
Forgot I'm on mute. Go ahead and proceed, Henry.
Oh, heavenly and mighty Yahweh, We ask you to guide us during our deliverance of this meeting with all materials that come before us. We also beseech thee, O merciful Lord, to give a guiding hand to our brothers and sisters who are veterans and active duty personnel during their travels. May their way be timely and carefree. And for us who are at home enjoying our own personal beliefs this time of year, we ask thee for thy mercy and grant us peace. In thy holy and mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Henry. All right, so let's introduce the guests that we have for today. Jennifer Gutowski, SAVEX Director. Do we have someone here from SAVEX? Okay. Tammy Garcia from the Center for Life Skills Development. Is Kamla here? Okay, so we'll see if she ends up making it. I'm checking my text here. I just got a quick one. Nope. All right. We also have Abel Moreno from AZ Complete Health. Abel? Nope, I don't see him. Ayla Linder, representing Arizona Coalition for Military Families. Ayla, do we have
you?
Yes. Awesome. Welcome, Madame. All right. We also have Brian Arrington and Matthew Langseth from Vets to Industry.
Yeah, I'm on.
Awesome. Okay. So on to number four. So approval of the legal action items for October 12th meeting. And that came separate in a note from Delma. Did you guys all get it? You did? Okay. All right, let's see here.
Martin Belden, I make a motion to accept the legal action report.
Okay. Anyone second?
Henry Johnson will second.
Thank you. All right. So, sorry, I got too many tabs open here. And here we go. All right, so do we have to do roll call now for that?
Yes.
We'll go ahead and do the roll call vote for the LER. Can you hear me, everybody?
Very, very low.
Can you hear me now?
It's still very low.
Now?
A teeny bit better.
Martin Belden?
Still too low.
I'll have you do it, Robert.
I'll go ahead and do the roll call vote. I think my mic is loud enough.
Thanks, Robert.
Martin Belden?
Here. Yes.
Terry Byron?
Yes.
Ann Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosie Carey?
Yes.
Mark Levine? James Lewis?
Present.
Would that be a yes on?
Yes.
Thank you. Melvin Morgan?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Yes, Carol Rundell? Gary Smith?
Yes.
Michael St. Orr's? Georgia Weiss? So the motion is carried unanimously.
Okay. So now on to the treasurer's report.
Okay. This is Martin Belden. For October, because we didn't do it last month, we started the month with $5,811.84. We had no income.
Just in case.
We had a $1,000 donation to the Veterans Day Parade.
Yeah.
And $26.12 for a pallet of water for the military lounge. It was that cheap because we had $175 in Costco gift cards. So we don't have any more gift cards. So we spent $1,026.12, gave us a balance of $47.85.72. So that was October. November, of course, we started with $47.85. Again, no more income. We got to do some fundraising here, guys. We had a $195.59 expense to reimburse Terry for the candles for the four chaplain ceremony in February, leaving us with a balance of $4,590.13. Any questions?
This is Terry Byron. I make a motion to accept the treasurer's report.
This is Butch Morgan. Second it.
So I'll go ahead and carry out a roll call vote on that. Martin Belden?
Yes.
Terry Byron?
Yes.
Ann Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosie Carey?
Yes.
James Lewis?
Yes.
Melvin Morgan?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
And Gary Smith?
Yes.
Carol Rundell, putting that out there in case she checked in. So, acting chair, by unanimous vote, the motion passes. I'll call Gary Smith.
Yes.
Yeah.
Being off in Georgia.
Michael St. Orr's and Georgia Weiss. All right. Unanimous yes.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. So on to number six, committee reports. So first up, we have Jennifer Katowski for the SEVEX here. Do we have somebody here representing SEVEX?
Hi, it's Jennifer. Hi, everyone. Happy holidays. Thanks so much for the opportunity to just give an update of what's happening here. I'll start by sharing a couple of news. I know this is may not be directly in Tucson, but I want to give you an update on our Yuma community clinic. We had in November a short-term pause in clinical operations at the Yuma clinic due to some contracting negotiations. It resumed clinical operations about a week later, and we also were able to work with American Legion Post 19 to pretty quickly turn around some mobile vet center units to be able to see our veterans during the week that our location was closed. But I'm pleased to share that we were back in the clinic on November 21st, and recently we have negotiated a five-year lease. So that is good news there for the Yuma community. So very pleased that our contracting team was able to work this through a successful resolution, and just incredible support from the community of Yuma and for the veterans there. Thank all of them for their dedication, and certainly our staff as well. Just a very challenging time, but really everyone pulled together, and we were moving forward. So that's good news. Just always want to remind folks about flu vaccinations. We're offering flu vaccine here, and still we're offering COVID vaccine. So we're not through the thick of it yet. We are seeing quite an uptick in COVID in our inpatient units. So a lot of folks being admitted with COVID and other comorbidities. So be careful out there and get your vaccinations. I also want to share that the pharmacogenomic testing through the National Pharmacogenomic Testing, which is called the PHASER program, is now available at SAVAHIX You're maybe wondering, what does that mean? So this is a blood test that can help individualize prescriptions for medicines used to treat several common health concerns, including pain, depression, anxiety, and blood clotting. And this testing specifically looks at genes related to drug response. So it provides some information about how effective a medication might be for a given patient, or the risk that a patient may develop a side effect to the medication. So if you're interested in learning more about the phaser test, you can reach out to your primary care team. So if you can help me spread that information around. Also, very proud that we got to participate in the City of Tucson Veterans Day Parade. That was just really cool. I really enjoyed it. And our float entry was honored as the Commander's Choice Award. And I'm very proud to say that the float was designed and constructed by our very own employees. And I thought it looked amazing. So a really talented team that we have. And we had VA employees and volunteers that rode or walked alongside the float during the parade. And also, I would like to end on just talking about the PACT Act. This is the Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxic Act. As you know, this is a new law that expands VA healthcare and benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits or other toxic substances. So if you're coming in for a primary care appointment, you will be screened for the PACT Act and for toxic exposure. So just give you a heads up on that. And if you want to know more information, there's a link in my monthly report that you all receive. I know Luke Johnson is on the line. He's my public affairs. Luke, did I leave anything out?
No, I think you got everything. I can't think of anything right now.
What about the visual town hall meetings and building aiding about the PACT Act? There was an email I received saying that there was something setting up about caregivers and understanding the PACT Act. That's starting on Fridays, or am I wrong?
Luke, do you have some more intel on that?
No, I'll figure it out. I'll find out tomorrow, and then I will. I'll get back to you. I'll get some additional information.
And then the second point is an attaboy. I had to go to the emergency room. Fortunately, I got in before the crowd. 3 hours later, I was kicked out. I'm improving now. The team I came across were very professional, funny, personable, and quick. So Dr. Kelly, Jonathan, and Homer were all good people. So job one, hey.
Awesome. I'm taking notes here because I'm going to share that tomorrow morning at my enterprise huddle. I was just in the ED tonight passing out some candy for holiday cheer. So I certainly will quote, they were funny, personable, and quick.
And don't forget about the volunteer escort, Mr. Johnson, who escorted me to radiology. He added right into the group. It was a great cohesion and good effort.
Excellent. Got it. Thank you so much for sharing that. Kudos. Any other questions that I may answer?
I know I've had some vets at CBP, Customs and Border Protection, saying, you know, they might be interested in those mobile clinics. Some of them work, you know, downrange away from, you know, living in tents and everything. So, you know, while they're out there, maybe mobile health clinics for them or something.
Yeah. Is this in Tucson?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. That actually is Keith Hamlin, who's with the Vet Center here in Tucson. He does bring the mobile vet unit, and he has a partnership with the area group for Custom Border Patrol. And then also, it was about maybe 2 months or so ago, we established a contact in Yuma for Yuma Custom Border Patrol with the Yuma Vet Center, as well as our team, to be able to provide resources from suicide prevention to chaplain services. And so absolutely, anything that we can do to support our team at Custom Border Patrol, because many of them are veterans themselves. So yes, we are in contact with them and seeing what is helpful for them and beneficial. But yes, absolutely. Thank you for bringing that forward.
And Keith Hamlin, he's pretty outreach. Wouldn't it be a thought to have him come and just give us a general overview of what he's actually doing as community outreach such as this for one of our future meetings.
I like that idea, Henry.
I think Luke and I can take that back to Keith and see if we can set something up at the request of this committee. Absolutely.
Don't let him know Henry said so, please.
Got it.
Any other questions there for Ms. Gutowski?
Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you so much.
And as always, thank you, Jennifer. All right, so moving on to 6B, the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery. From Lewis.
This is Tubby Lewis, Arizona Department of Veterans Services. I was unable to obtain that information from the cemetery.
We do have the Wreaths Across America also this weekend. I mean, obviously, there, but the East Lawn, too.
Is that for Terry or is that for me?
Both. Anything there for wreath laying at our cemetery?
Mm-hmm. Actually, Ann Hollis is here, and she sits on the foundation for the cemetery, so she might have something to add.
Thank you. I can. Let's see. Yes, so at the Marana Cemetery, yes, it is this Saturday morning, and let's see, I should have the time. I don't have the time because I can't make it, but I it is on the website, but in the future I can have that time for you. But
I think Terry was saying 10.
I think they're all being laid at the same time. So whatever time it is at East Lawn, 10, that's what I thought. Okay, so it's the same time at Marana. And the Marana Cemetery, now that you bring it up, just a heads up, and there'll be more information later. There'll be a flyer coming up. But the Cemetery Foundation is hosting a golf tournament on the 13th of May at the Tucson Omni. And when they have a flyer developed, I'll forward that to the VAC.
What day in May was that again, Ann?
Saturday the 13th.
Point of order. She can bring it up when we do the good of the committee okay. Under our reports, please.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? All right. So moving on to 6C, the Arizona Department of Veterans Services.
East Lawn Cemetery is also doing it at 10 o'clock on Saturday, as well as South Lawn. And Evergreen. So.
Point of order, Henry. Under good of the order. Arizona Department of Veterans Services is up now.
That was under cemetery, Miss Byron.
So for the month of November, we have 1,953 direct services. Direct services is any public contact that we have with veterans, and that's through a plethora of resources, whether it's for a disability claim, which we've seen an increase in based upon the PACT Act. It could be a pension. It could be questions regarding education or burial benefits. During the same time period, we had 359 claims. We're currently in the process of hiring 4 employees. The positions are posted. They have been closed as of December 4th. If there's a change in that, I will send something out to the team because some of the positions are scattered throughout the region. But that's all I have regarding ADDS. Any questions for me?
All right. So then.
Thank you, Rosie.
No worries. Thank you so much again, Tubby. All right, so now on to item number 7 on our agenda, the Center for Life Skills Development. Do we have Kamla Garcia here? Did she arrive? Okay. So then moving on to item 8, Arizona Complete Health. Do we have Abel Moreno here tonight?
I'm here.
Still waiting for approval?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for approval. What I can do is just talk about the general. The general basically is we are one of the largest. We are actually the REBA for Southern Arizona. We just acquired the northern region in reference to access and providing what they would call access Medicare services. So the way that works is basically all of our providers who we are provided with a myriad of different providers throughout Southern Arizona. Most of them, you know who they are, Cope, Kodak, La Frontera. They're all contracted with us. We provide the basis of those services to include medical services. So those of you who are familiar with access and Medicare, you know, we're actually, that's exactly what we do. And based off of that, we're looking at wanting to really, really support our veteran community. Which we do have actually things that we provide for our veterans. That's the gist of it. What I would like to do is appoint everybody to Arizona Complete Health. If you look us up online, you're going to see exactly what it is. But we want to be able to have an open door policy for anybody who receives or may not be able to receive services through the VA, have an open door policy for those who can receive services through Access and Medicaid and have that venue of services for them, to include the basis of medical health care. So those who can't, you know, like I said, those who can't get services through the VA and are relying on Medicare services, they're able to utilize our agency. And like I said, we are the Regional Behavioral Health Authority. So you should know, little standing fact out there right now and reference to what is going on throughout larger Arizona, is there's probably more veterans enrolled in access that haven't necessarily been identified, because there's a bunch of multiple plans out there, not just us. There's United and there's Banner, but there's a majority of our veteran population who is enrolled into access, and it's really, really hammering down the basis of services we would like to hope we would hope to provide for them. So that's basically Arizona Complete Health in a nutshell. Until I get approved through our senior management, I could talk more about it, and I would even give you guys a PowerPoint. But right now, the wheels move slow, so I apologize to everybody in reference to that. The wheels move slow, if not even slower, in the holiday season. So if you have any questions, feel free to email me offline. I'll put my email in the chat. But let me get that approval, Rocio, and I will definitely see what I can do. I don't know where Cam's at right now, so I apologize for that.
Well, really good information. And I believe that AZ Complete Health during COVID provided those gift cards, right, those Walmart gift cards that we handed out with TVSV and a couple other groups there at the Keno Vet Center, right?
Roger. We did. We had about 500 gift cards in reference to the COVID relief as soon as COVID broke out, and we were able to disperse those via TVSV, which we were able to help many veterans and their families in that time. You know, so you know, further down the line in discussion of what we can potentially do for the city, I have to talk to my headship. I don't want to jump to chain of command or jump rank or anything like that. Everybody knows how that one works, right? So I need to do the right things, but I'm glad to be a part of this, and I will put my email in so you guys can get a hold of me.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, April. Any questions, you guys? All right. So on to number 9, the Arizona Coalition for Military Families, and Ayla Linder is here to speak about that.
Thank you so much. And I'm just checking to make sure I can share my screen. I just wanted to go over the website here to kind of give everyone a visual. So I wasn't sure if I've got the ability. I'm just going to go ahead and try now. It looks like it's working. And my name is Ayla Linder. I'm the Assistant Director of the Arizona Coalition for Military Families. And I really am appreciative of this extension of an invitation from Ms. Rosie in regards to showcasing the ecosystem of support that we have at the coalition, and really to give you guys an update on a lot of different success stories in the community in Tucson and beyond across the state of Arizona. And for those who are unfamiliar with the coalition, I just want to give you guys a visual of the different areas that we do focus on within the military community. And I'm a visual person. I know a lot of people in this era of remote work, right, and virtual work and long days, it's better to hear, see it than hear me drone on about it. So I'm just going to show you some areas that we focus on at the coalition within the military community. And as you guys see, basic needs, employment, family, social supports, finances and benefits, higher education, housing, homelessness, legal, mental health and substance abuse, physical health and spirituality. This last one being a really big one, not putting a label on it, but really looking at the fact that everybody needs something that they go back to, that pillar of faith, not really having a label on it. That's something that we're really focusing on in 2023 and working with our faith communities and people who do not claim a faith as well within the community. And so that's our overview of our focus area within the Connected Ecosystem of Support. And I oversee specifically the career NAF side of the house of all these different areas in which that houses the roadmap to veteran employment that we partner with ADVS and DES very specifically in various ways. So we're woven within the state. And then, of course, the VA, you know, so we fill in the gap in different areas and we like to work in the background. We don't like to be seen. It's always a good thing. Then, you know, if people have not heard of us, that's a good thing because we really want our partners to be able to showcase what they're doing on the front lines. And we've got a couple different various programs that you guys can see up here that we work with installation partners and we work with active duty as well as veterans, the community. But I wanted to share, so we have that website here that you guys can go on to connectveterans.org and you will be able to utilize all the different things. We have a Be Connected Community Corps we're standing up, really bringing in volunteers to work across Tucson and beyond. But I wanted to showcase, and I'll stop sharing now so that you're not like me and get distracted by this beautiful color here, the flag and such. And I will share with you guys a couple of different real quick updates and success stories with City of Tucson. City of Tucson has been working really hard with us for the past year and a half or 2 years to figure out how to create a military internship program and fill in all of those open roles. And it's been tried before by many different people, but the team that City of Tucson has now, Matt and Joanna, they've both been working together really hard with our team on the employer engagement side to figure out how they can really effectively bring transitioning retirees and service members who are separating from the military into an internship. And what that looks like is looking at their skills and matching them with open roles that they actually have at City of Tucson. And what was done before in the past was there are open roles, but they weren't matching the skill set that we saw in the service members. And so it's been a lot of long early mornings and long nights, a lot of meetings with them, with our employer engagement coordinator and then with City of Tucson. But we're really excited to say that they've launched a really beautiful internal skill bridge program, which is what we call it in the DOD, as well as various community outreach type of programs involving them with the base career fairs and resource fairs. Really just bringing City of Tucson in so that they can, you know, be able to showcase all the different resources that they offer. And it's been a really long time, but now we're finally to the point where we're going to be able to see some traction on that. And that's going to really be able to help City of Tucson fill all the open roles. The more that we build this partnership and the more that we support and we work together, we're really excited for next year because now we have started with this program and we're excited to see what else we can do with the spouses and with volunteers. And we've just got all of these initiatives as you saw on our website. So we've got a lot of different folks who are involved with the coalition that we can then, you know, plug into the City of Tucson and different various initiatives that they're working on for next year with the HR team. So that's a really great employer update that, you know, for a long time that they've been working on. And we're excited to be able to support them in that. And another success story in the community that I wanted to just kind of read off here, and we don't put names on these, obviously, but a military installation partner contacted the Career NAV team, which that's the team that works directly with career seekers, spouses, veterans, and the community. They connected with our team directly to get information regarding a close friend of theirs who is a veteran. And they preferred to remain anonymous. So there was an employee on a military installation here in Arizona who had a veteran friend. They were in dire need of housing assistance. And they were really afraid to ask for help. They requested that they keep this as private as possible. and to ensure that this that the team provided, you know, the utmost sincerity and, you know, basically trying to allow someone to remain anonymous is really hard, as you guys understand, you know, when you're trying to fill applications. But our team did a really good job of doing a warm referral to our support line. And our support line explained that they're going to offer all the necessary resources and support and gain the trust of this veteran in the community. After what happens is whenever we do a referral to our support line, there's patient confident or client confidentiality. And when that occurs, we are only being given updates whether, you know, they've been contacted or it's been resolved. And that's to protect the client. And it's a very beautiful thing. And we found out from the military installation partner, the friend of the veteran, that the individual was able to receive housing assistance. They're set to move into an apartment rather quickly, a lot quicker than they realized, because they were being able to utilize the assistance of our support line, the Be Connected support line, where they were able to help them with the application process. And they passed on that sincere gratitude was expressed by all of those involved, including the military installation partner, which was the friend of the veteran. They just really couldn't believe how quickly the Be Connected team assisted and helped find a positive solution for this individual. And then they went on to say, we continue to make impactful connections and assistance within our military family community, our community partners, and other partners that are getting to witness this firsthand on the streets, you know, of Tucson and Sierra Vista, Phoenix, as well as the outlying areas such as Yuma. That same military installation partner has continued to utilize our services, providing additional referrals from friends as well as on-base employees that are veterans or spouses of veterans, and they continue to reach out for guidance on a regular basis. And this just goes to show, you know, that we're really bridging the gaps that we see in the community, both on-base veterans as well as veterans that are belonging to different organizations. They're really realizing that our Be Connected support line, they have created an inclusive environment where a person can call for help and they are not turned away to call another 1-800 number or to fill out application on their own. And they're being given the grace to, if they have to vent because they've been turned away by so many organizations, they're able to be able to be heard. And the care navigation team on our support line is now very well versed in walking the veterans through those processes that we all know take, you know, quite a while. We all know that those applications for assistance takes a while. So I just like to share those success stories because we see all of the applications, we see all these programs, we help, but sometimes it takes the human factor to really make us feel grateful for all the partnerships that we have, including many of you guys here in this room. That really help our veteran community. I'm a veteran myself, Air Force veteran, so very near and dear to my heart what we're able to see happen in our community, and I'm here in Tucson as well. So between the city of Tucson and the partnership at the highly level, you know, highly skilled level of folks coming out of the military to the veterans that are out there in the community, I just wanted to share, you know, really how broad our reach is across Arizona, and thankful for everyone's partnership and continued collective impact to be able to affect our community. And then I always want to put a little plug in at the end. And if you guys have any questions, of course, but of course, always remember we have our annual spring symposium coming up on 19th and 20th, and that's going to be in Phoenix. And that's going to be in person, finally, in real life, you know, as long as these COVID numbers go down and flu and all that by April, hopefully fingers crossed that things, you know, balance out by the springtime. But we've been virtual for 2 years, and we would like to, you know, invite everybody that's on the same website on connectveterans.org/symposium. It's 125 days away, 13 hours and 20 minutes. And it's at the Desert Willow Conference Center in Phoenix, Arizona. And there will also be continuing education credits, those CEUs. They've actually put a plan in place to offer those this year, which are really valuable. There are travel stipends and scholarships available for attendees due to the registration fee, which will cover your program, your meal, and your snacks. And everyone's welcome. A few of the people that I like to highlight would obviously be veterans and military affiliated family members, military government community representatives, healthcare professionals, mental health providers, social workers, first responders, VSO members, and then, of course, you know, your employers and your educators and faith community representatives. And service members are also, and any employee at military installations are allowed to apply for those scholarships. So anyone who is active duty or guard or reserve, anyone who was obviously in the panels and things like that. But if you guys do have any questions, feel free to reach out. We do have a fax, FAQ flyer online, but you guys can always reach out to myself or, you know, to anyone on our leadership team. We can answer any questions, but we'd like to see you guys show up. It's still, you know, a few more months away, but we know our calendars fill up really quickly for the springtime, and the registration will be open in January. So that's coming up quick next month. Any questions?
Excellent. Thank you so much, Ayla. And thank you because you gave away your second vehicle. What is it? Giving Tuesday, you gave away a vehicle to a veteran in need that was nominated for it in Sierra Vista, right? And then last year, a single mom of two, a veteran, you gave her a car here in the Tucson area. So it's really, really awesome to see you guys taking on all those extra things on top of that, you know, building those partnerships to really help us vets. Like you said, fill in the gaps and everything, right? Because with them, not that it's not really good resources, but you have to go through some red tape, more paperwork. So, you know, through our groups and everything, we're able to be a lot faster with that. So
exactly. Can't do it alone whatsoever. It's all about the community effort, collective impact.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Any questions, Yo?
Ayla, this is Brian Arrington. I was wondering if you could put your contact information and the website link. I'd love to connect my volunteers in Arizona with you.
Yeah, I think we've met, Brian. I know we're partnered with you guys, and I'm pretty sure we've had a virtual or two in the last year and a half. But, yeah, definitely we can reconnect because I know that between the remote work and all the meetings we have together, you know,
things get
lost in the inboxes. But, yes, I can definitely put that in the chat, and we can reconnect.
Awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right, so now on to the next one. So, Brian, you kind of led right in there. So, number 10, Vets to Industry, Brian Arrington. So, please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. And, Rosie, thank you so much for the invitation for Vets to Industry to come on and talk to you, to all about what we do. To give you all a little bit of background, I'm a retired U.S. Air Force veteran, did 20 years in the Air Force and retired 4 years ago in July 2019. And Vets to Industry came about because in my last year transitioning, I learned that there was over 45,000 veteran service organizations nationwide that provided free resources, services, and benefits to us and our families, but nobody tells us about it while we're serving. The Department of Defense doesn't tell us about it, and when we go to TAP, the Department of Labor doesn't tell us about veteran service organizations. And when I found out about these 45,000 veteran service organizations, all I could think about was, how many airmen have I let get out the military since 2002 when I put on E5, our first supervisor rank, without setting them up for success on the outside due to my own ignorance on the existence of all these free resources? And then I literally started crying, thinking, how many of those airmen are part of the 44 who've killed themselves a day, or unemployed, or underemployed, or in substance abuse, divorced, homeless, or incarcerated? All because Brian Arrington, Sergeant Arrington, did not tell them about free resources that could have given them hope leaving the military. So when I went on to look for Google to see, okay, if there's 45,000 veteran service organizations that I'm being told, there has to be a site where all these are co-located. And I couldn't find a single site repository where all the free resources nationwide were co-located. And so 6 months later, after doing a ton of research and learning everything I could about transitioning resources and transitioning knowledge, I built the first free resource library on vets2industry.org. And we started with 72 free resources that I had curated, vetted myself, found a website designer who came on board, and she said, not only will I build this for you, but I take on one free client a quarter, and I'm going to make you my permanent pro bono client. And she's been with me for 4 years. So now, fast forward 4 years, we have over 1,000 free resources on vets2industry.org. We have over 300 scholarships on there, tons of knowledge, articles, blogs about transitioning and about service. We have two career boards on there from Recruit Military and Fusion Cell, and we're constantly looking to upload more of the more job boards for opportunities for service members, transitioning service members, veterans, mill spouses, dependent children, Gold Star family members, and caregivers. That's our first pillar, is that resource library. And then when COVID hit in 2020, something terrible happened. About 2 weeks into March 2020, all of the veteran service organizations nationwide shut down. And the problem with this was some of those resources like 4Block and Bunker Labs and Vets in Tech had in-person events where service members were getting connected with hiring managers and recruiters and veteran advocates. But now they couldn't, but they're still transitioning out of the military. So a week after everything shut down, I built the Vets Industry Virtual Networking Circuit event. And this is an online free event that we put on every single month. And we get between 350 to 500 attendees every single month on the call. And we bring recruiters from around the country, from Amazon, Google, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, Activision, Blizzard, Spectrum, Hyundai, FEMA, the list goes on, with their open opportunities. And we give them the opportunity to give their elevator pitch on why somebody should work at their company. And then we also invite veteran service organizations to come and talk about what resources and services they provide anywhere in the country. And you would love to invite any veteran service organizations on this call to come to the events. Rosie might be able to back me up about the experience of these events. And then we also invite colleges and universities to talk about their open their degree programs. We invite veteran and mill spouse owned businesses as well, because people want to buy from veteran and mill spouse owned businesses, but they just don't know where to find them. So we give them a free platform to be able to talk about their services and their products to a huge audience of 350 to 500 people. And then we also invite transitioning service members, current service members, veterans, military spouses, Gold Star family members, caregivers, and dependent work age adult children. So that's our second pillar. Our last pillar is our webinars. And we will partner with a company. We've done it with Amazon before, Kohl's, AFMA, Salute to Suit. And what the company will do, not us, but the company, recruiters and hiring managers will teach some kind of professional development topic, such as salary negotiation, resume writing, interviewing, dress for success, financial literacy, savings and budgeting. We've done TSP rollover because nobody tells us what to do with our TSP when we get out. And nobody tells us how to dress leaving the military. So that's why we put these on. And then this next year, we're going to be adding networking and also business insurance for entrepreneurs, because a lot of businesses don't know that they need insurance. That's our third third pillar, excuse me. And, we offer a lot of mentorship and guidance, to service members that reach out to us, like life services, all around the country. If I may, I'd like to share the website screen so you all can see that. 1 second, let me pull this up. Okay, hopefully you all can see this. So we have this is vets2industry.org, and on it you can see that we have a ton of different things that they can do. One thing, the main resource library is under services, and they click search benefits. They can also look at scholarship opportunities where, like I said, we have over 300 scholarship opportunities, and I will also put veteran and mill spouse owned businesses on the website as well, so they can promote themselves. So if you go to the search benefits, you're going to see that everything is broken down by categories.
slow. Things come to bed because I'm on this. There we go. So on the search benefits page, if you know what the resource you want to look up is, you can type that in the search box. And if we know about it and it's a legitimate vetted resource that we have done, it will appear on this. We do not put any resources on here that have not been fully 100% vetted. And I have my director of research is a former military intelligence a senior NCO. So then we also have browse by location. So we have every state listed on here. We also have online nationwide. So anyone who's from any state, these are resources that they can use. It doesn't matter where they're located geographically. And then finally at the bottom, so we have a map of where all these resources are located. But the bottom is my favorite. It's browse by category. So you can, it also gives you how many resources are in that category that we have found embedded. You know, you can see all the different categories that we have. And then what's really cool is at the bottom, if a service member or a civilian or a veteran advocate doesn't see a resource that they know exists, they can send it to us with the link to it. So it becomes a community library where it's kind of like Wikipedia, but we go and we vet the resource before it gets uploaded onto the website. So this is how the whole military community can help each other out with resources that they might know of in their state or their location that we just haven't found yet. So like I said, there's 45,000 veteran service organizations, but not all of them are legitimate, credible, reliable, or do what they say they can do. Even if they mean well and not malice, they just can't service their customers or their community. And so those kind of resources will also not be put on the website if they can't fulfill what they do. And we use social media to look at the CEOs and presidents and owners of the resources to make sure they don't have any background that is piranhas to service members or have taken advantage of service members. We also go and look at the Better Business Bureau. We look at reviews and testimonials. We go all out and try to find out and make sure these resources are credible and reliable. So that's all I have, unless there's any questions. Oh, we have 103 volunteers globally that provide mentorship and advice and support to the veteran community. We have over 85,000 veterans or followers on our LinkedIn company page, and we gain 1,000 followers every 10 days through organic reach. We have not paid a single dime in marketing in the 4 years that we've been existed. It's really an awesome thing. We've had 158,000 visitors to our website. We average 6,000 to 10,000 visitors every month. We just landed our first corporate sponsor 6 months ago, and that was Spectrum, the broadband company. And we're in talks right now with Bank of America, Waste Management, USAA, PenFed, BGIS. These are other sponsors that might be coming on board. So thank you for your time, and thank you, Rosie.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you so much, Brian. Okay, so then let's see, on to number 11 of our agenda, Military Lounge. I guess maybe with the Operation Exodus might be.
Hi, I am here.
Oh, yay.
Thank you so much. We're very grateful for all of the support that the Veterans Affairs Committee is able to provide for us. Just a quick update on the Military Lounge. We signed an agreement with San Miguel High School. I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with it. It's like a corporate study program. So we get high school students throughout the week that come and get to experience different things around the airport. And we have interns that now help us with the Military Lounge, and they love it. And it's been a great experience for them. They help us restocking. Our staff, we're a little understaffed right now, so they come in, and that's the first thing they want to do. They really enjoy doing it, so that's been great. We no longer have theft of food, which I believe earlier in the year I had mentioned was an issue. So the keypad and the lock on there has definitely prevented that. Holiday season has been very busy already, so Exodus starts this Sunday. And so we are expecting a minimum of 3,000 soldiers flying from out of Fort Huachuca. We have staff that will start getting to the airport at 3 a.m. on both Sunday and Monday, and we'll be there all day through 5 o'clock ensuring that they get water, snacks, anything that they want, and we'll be manning the table to keep those that might not know what we're doing. And again, it's not something that we share outside of our organization or with the Veterans Affairs Committee, because there are obvious security concerns that their teams have. So we keep everything on the down low, no media. But we are expecting a large group from Fort Huachuca to come out and to kind of help. They love to come out. American Airlines helps us with gate passes. And then they let the Fort Huachuca staff on, and then they just walk around with the soldiers and like FaceTime with their families. And, it's a really nice moment. Terry had mentioned that, to bring up any potential opportunities for volunteering. We're really grateful. Our staff who's badged, that's the one kind of hard part is you have to be badged to go pre-security or post-security. We've been able to fulfill all the really early morning spots, but where potentially if there's anybody that's interested in helping Sunday afternoon between 1 and 5 o'clock, we actually have two people that are available on our staff to do that. So if there's anybody who's interested, I'll put my email address in the chat. And if you're interested and want to come, even if it's for 1 hour, we'll take you. We'll be able to escort you post-security. Being escorted post-security means at all times you have to be within our eyesight, which I don't think that's a concern. But we'd love to have you. So we only need two people. So if there's two people who are interested, just send me an email and we'll kind of first come, first serve. I'll let you know if somebody else has asked to volunteer first. And then, Terry, I think you probably have some stuff to add as well.
Thanks, Jesse, for that. We're to the point where we need to make a motion to spend money for food because you still need those supplies, correct, Jesse?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead. We sent out the list, the wish list from Jesse. I got an estimate from Costco. Some of the items they didn't have in stock at the time that I did that estimate. So I will make a motion that we put a budget forward of $2,500 for Operation Exodus. Doesn't mean we'll spend all that much, but I suspect we will go to $2,500 to fulfill the wish list.
Can I interrupt just for a second? Chair, do you want to vote on this now, or do you want to vote on this along with Operation Exodus?
We can do it now. They kind of merge a little bit, so.
Henry Johnson will second the motion Terry put forth then.
Apologies. Terry, could you rephrase the motion?
I make a motion that we have a budget of $2,500 to spend for Operation Exodus.
Henry Johnson, I second the rephrase motion.
Does the rephrase suffice, Robert?
It does. Thank you. Maybe we, I see Carol is on, and she can do the roll call.
Okay, Martin Belden?
Yes.
Jake Brazenio? Terry Byron?
Yes.
Ann Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosie Carey?
Yes.
Mark Levine? James Lewis?
Yes.
Melvin Morgan?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Carol Rundell says yes. Michael St. Ords?
Yes.
Gary Smith?
Yes.
Georgia Wise? We have a quorum of yes. The motion will pass.
Okay. Thank you for that. So motion passes. Any other questions?
So the logistics of that is I will place the order for fax and poll, and we will need the treasurer to be present to pay for the order, and any other volunteers that want to help us transport it to the airport on Friday morning.
Terry, this is Martin Golden.
This is Carol Rundell, and I am willing to bring my truck for pickup on Friday. I just need to know what time to be there.
Terry, this is Martin. They wanted a pallet of water. We're going to need their truck to meet us out there at Costco to carry that pallet of water.
Will their truck hold the other stuff we're going to get to? While they're there, I'm just saying.
It's a big one-ton truck, so, or I guess. I know he carries the pallet of water without a problem. He's got a lift gate on it, but I don't know if he can take it all. I can put quite a bit in my truck if we needed to take it out there, but I don't know how much stuff is it, Terry?
I couldn't tell you for sure. I know I can borrow my boss's vehicle, and with between your truck and Carol's truck, we could probably handle the water. And with my boss's truck and another vehicle, we could handle the other stuff. Jessie has her hand up.
No, you don't understand. The water comes wrapped, plastic wrapped, on a pallet.
I understand.
Forklift, okay.
Go ahead, Jessie.
They always take me out there when they get the pallet of water with their own truck.
Yeah, so Martin, you're referring to the truck from the Tucson Airport Authority, right?
Yep.
Okay, so Terry, if we can, because I know this has been all up in the air, if we can get a decisive time on when you'll be at Costco, I would like to work with my warehouse team to see if they can meet at Costco. Then at a minimum, they can take the water, like Martin mentioned, and then because we're not taking the whole pallet for Exodus anyways, we'll probably take half of it at a minimum and leave that at the terminal, and then the rest will go to the warehouse. So it would actually be great timing for them to get it anyways. Everything else, and I'm happy to meet. I have an SUV. We can take everything else, and we'll drop that off on the arrivals curb. Or I'm sorry, the departures curb, because we're going to just essentially take everything out onto the concourses. And if you really want to volunteer, I'll validate your parking if you unload everything. And then if you park in hourly and we can walk together and place everything out on the concourses, we'll take your help for that too.
Jesse, I'll definitely coordinate with you once I place the fax and poll order and I get a response back from them as to what they have available.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. If we meet at 10 o'clock when they open, we can get in and out fairly fast. Because they have the fax and poll stuff ready. The water, same thing. We just pay for it all at once. And
That is the goal, sir.
Yeah, because they load the pallet in the back with the forklift, so he knows where that goes. We've made that trip a couple times to get the water.
I'll send an email tonight to the warehouse staff to put them on standby for 10 o'clock on Friday.
Okay. Yeah, because he's got my phone number if he has any questions. He knows to call me.
Very good. Excellent. Okay.
Any other questions, Terry?
I do not, but it would be great if we could get some volunteers out there for that Sunday shift from 1 to 5, because I didn't hear back from anybody when I sent out the volunteer email through Delma. So I will put it out again and see if we can fill that slot for you, Jesse.
Harry, I can probably come out at least for 2 hours from 3 to 5.
Thanks, Ann. That would be great. That was Ann Hollis.
Ann, do you mind sending me an email? I put it in the chat.
I saw that. I was going to do that. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you. And on behalf of the Tucson Airport Authority, sincerely, we thank you so much for your support and for helping us with this large investment. It's definitely going to brighten their days as they travel home.
Oh, yeah. And after 3,000, you know, troops come through, yeah, you're going to need that and then some. So, okay. Awesome. Any other questions, you guys, before we move on? Okay. So, technically, I guess 12 fell under number 11, right? So, now on to item 13, the Veterans Parade. Okay. The VAC, I guess, didn't have folks to go in the parade, but we did see quite a few attendees and everything there, so it looked like a really nice, good lineup of it. I was able to have the WMSA float there, so I was really, really excited about that. Lots of kiddos, lots of folks out. It was such a beautiful day. Any comments or questions?
Somebody recorded it. This is Terry Byron. Somebody recorded it and placed it on YouTube. So if you're interested in watching some of the parade, you can watch it under Tucson Veterans Day Parade search on YouTube. And I have to say it was a gorgeous day weather-wise. Dignity Memorial had a float, and we had several of my Marines rode on the float. So it was very good.
Awesome. Okay. All right, so now on to number 14. I almost missed 14. Four chaplains, Miss Terry.
Thank you. So we're really excited about the four chaplains. It's the 80th anniversary of the accident. We have a candlelight service at 4:30 p.m. planned at Keno Veteran Memorial Park. I just emailed the flyer to Delma and Robert for them to resend out. So please share that. We are looking for participation from any veteran organization that would like to place a wreath. If they could reach back out to me, my contact information is on the flyer. We are looking to have a military vehicle display, and we have the Regimental Brass Band will be playing. Chaplain Zink is helping out with the service. I will put forth a draft of the program. I have reserved the port and am working on a certificate of insurance from the city for the park. So that'll all be good. We do need to have, and I don't know if we need to do a motion for this, but we do have the expense of the porta potty that will need to be placed at the park. Dignity Memorial will be providing the sound system and chairs. And potentially, if needed, we would have canopies. If anybody has a portable battery-operated work light that they could bring to the service, there's no power at the ceremony site, so everything needs to be battery operated and there's no lights. So if anybody wants to bring a work light out to provide lighting, that would be awesome. And Dignity Memorial will have refreshments after of cake and coffee, and I think that's pretty much it from me. Does anybody have any questions?
This is Carol Rundell. You mentioned that you need to do a vote. Is that a correct statement to expend money from the VAC? Is that what I'm understanding?
That was my question.
This is for the porta potties sound system because I think we already had talked about
porta potty.
Right. Because we had already expensed and voted on the battery life rate. Okay. So the porta potties. And do you have an estimate of that?
I do not. We can vote on it in January. That's fine. I just wasn't sure if we needed to, because we have a budget already set forth for the four chaplains, so I wasn't sure if it was something that we needed to vote on.
Martin, our Melvin, event is. Yeah, we probably will, because the vendor that we used to use got bought out, and they're a lot more. The new one is a lot more expensive. So, if you can get us a estimate in for January's meeting.
Yeah, and I have a different vendor possibility too. So.
Well, yeah, but still, get us an estimated cost from the best vendor, and then we can vote on spending that.
Okay.
This is Henry Johnson. If the estimate is less than what we budget, then we won't need to vote, correct?
Well, we have other things in the budget. We pay money out for that brass band, don't we?
Yes.
And I think that's all we really budgeted for.
Not a problem. Just a question.
Yeah.
Just for clarity, all financial expenditures require a vote.
Thank you, Robert. So we'll be able to do that in January. I'll make sure to have everything put together for one motion. Any other questions?
We'll have to make sure we have a quorum because it's the last meeting before the event, right?
Correct.
That event is 5 February. Okay. Any other comments, discussion? Okay. All right. So now number 15, current events are for the good of the order. So we go down the line, right?
Okay. Martin Blinden?
Nothing.
Let's see. Terry Byron.
I do. I wanted to say the Race Across America is simultaneously across the country. So in Tucson, Arizona, most of the ceremonies are at 10 a.m. And there is a ceremony at Islam Palms Cemetery at 5801 East Grant. And that is hosted or run by the Gold Star Mothers. And then South Lawn Cemetery has theirs, and theirs is run by the Davis-Monthan Civil Air Patrol cadets. So either one of those locations, if you're interested in supporting those organizations, join them at those two cemeteries. And that's all I can speak knowledgeably about for Race Across America. Thank you.
Ann Hollis?
Yes, the Military Officers Association of Tucson, we split off the satellite group up in the Saddlebrook area, Catalina Mountains. They are now officially their own separate chapter. So we're in the middle of divvying up the funds, but we will have one newsletter for both groups in the interest of saving work.
Henry Johnson?
On Reefs Across America, if any of you find yourself in Columbia Falls, Maine, please check out their headquarters museum. It was a very touching and enjoyable thing, and the story of how and why Wreaths Across America became is truly exploited there. On the home front here, I know that Scottish American Military Society will be doing the wreaths at Evergreen at 10 a.m. That's it.
Okay. Rosie Carey?
Okay, I do have a couple things here. So I do have an update for TVSV. The 6th of January is their next meeting. It's 11 to noon at Gospel Rescue Mission, as usual. They also set the date for their stand down. It's going to be the 15th and 16th of March, as usual, at the Grand Lux. The 15th will be their resource fair. The 16th, the first hour, is going to be vets only resources. And then the remaining 2 hours out for community resources. And then, of course, RTX Vets from Raytheon, we did our Boulder Crest fundraiser. We raised the most money that we have ever raised for them, a few thousand dollars. So we were very happy about that. We also, every Christmas, for Giving Tuesday, we do fundraisers for all these different groups. Operation Warm Heart from Davis-Monthan was actually our number one charity. So the top three charities get an extra $10,000. So we are so happy to keep it local here in Tucson for our Davis-Monthan folks, which helps Operation Warm Heart helps provide Christmas gifts and everything for junior airmen and those with need a little extra help. So we're really, really excited about that. So I know they got at least $10,000. I don't know the exact numbers, but super excited. And let's see. Oh, one of the things that we've been doing is, one, I really want to commend our veteran community. That's been a big selling point for Raytheon, to bring them here to just Arizona and specifically the Tucson area, is our strong military veteran community. We actually have created flyers from our RTX Vets, our ERG, all the veteran community resources, right? Nationwide ones, you know, the DAV, the American Legion and everything, right? But to also have that for just Tucson, it's a huge selling point. You're like, hey, come to Tucson and here's all this information about all our retirement homes and caregiver military spouse programs. They really, really enjoy it and they love that side of it. So kudos to you guys there, too, for that strong veteran community. So, and that's it for me.
All righty. James Lewis?
Yes, ma'am. The only thing I would like to add is that Arizona Department of Veterans Services has a large and a small grant. I'll put it in the chat. So anyone who would like to go out there, if you are a nonprofit, 501c3, excuse me, there are monies that you may be able to request a proposal, send in a proposal, and acquire some monies from Arizona Department of Veterans Services. That's all I have, ma'am.
Thank you. Melvin Morgan.
Nothing.
Marlon Ruiz.
Nothing to report for MORWW.
Carol Rundell does not have anything at this moment. Michael St. Orts?
Yes, I have some news. Phyllis Russell, who was a former board member working for Esperanza and Escalante Transitional Housing for Homeless Veterans, has decided to retire, her and her husband, Pat. Phyllis had been there for 27 years, amazingly. The Board of Directors search committee found two excellent candidates. They're in the process now of presenting an offer to one of the candidates. And so both candidates said they need a month to tell their employer. And Phyllis has agreed to work with them initially. So hopefully that will happen in probably February, sometime in February. Thank you.
And then in February is the event for Esperanza and Escalante, right?
Pardon me?
The event for Esperanza and Escalante, right? Their extravaganza.
The
flyer that I gave to Delma to distribute to the group. So yes, it is, and I'll have her redistribute it, Mike, for you.
Thank you.
Is that it, Mike?
Yeah, that's all. Thanks.
Okie doke. Gary Smith.
Nothing to add.
Georgia Wise did not answer. Is she in now? Okay. That's it.
Okay. So now on upcoming nominations and elections of officers. So the first one up is for chair. Any nominations?
Sheldon, I nominate Rosie.
Any other nominations?
Do you accept, Rosie?
I accept. So now we vote.
Yeah, unless there are any other nominations, you can go ahead and take a vote.
Can you tell her that?
Well,
no, can we do the voting?
We can do. I mean, if it pleases the committee. We can accept nominations and do a vote on all nominations, unless you want to do votes for individual committee positions.
Okay. So I guess how...
Martin Belden, I think all would be easier and faster.
Okay.
Okay. So if we could have a nomination for the position of senior vice chairman? Does anybody want to make a nomination? Yes. Henry.
I accept.
You nominating himself?
I think was that a nomination? I think we had a little sound issue. Was that a nomination made by
I was putting forth my name for someone to nominate me as someone interested in the position.
Thank you.
This is Carol Rundell. I nominate Henry Johnston for the position of senior vice chair.
I'm sorry, I can't take it, Carol. I accept.
Henry, step outside.
All right. And do we have a nomination for the junior vice chairman?
I like to nominate Ann. This is Henry Johnston.
Okay. All right. I accept.
Thank you. And we have. And do we have a nomination for treasurer?
I nominate Martin Belden.
Somebody to win. Go ahead, Carol.
I nominate Martin Belden for treasurer.
I'll accept.
Thank you. And finally, judge advocate. Do we have a nomination for the judge advocate?
I nominate Terry Byron for judge advocate.
Oh, unfortunately, she had to leave the meeting a little bit early, so she's not here to accept.
Uh-oh. I nominate Michael St. Orr, Henry Johnston.
I don't know what the judge advocate does.
He's in charge of the bylaws and helps us maintain decorum, as in making sure we do the right thing.
I see. Okay.
Am I correct, Robert?
You are.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't take it at this time. I'm sorry.
Open to any other nominations.
I nominate James Lewis. Carol Rundell.
I respectfully decline that.
Henry Johnson, I nominate Birch Morgan.
I decline it. Got too many other things.
Martin Belden, I'm recommending we hold off on that till January. It appears that nobody wants that position at this time, and the one who might have taken it isn't there to accept it.
I make a motion that we do that. I second it if the motion has not been made.
The motion was made by Martin Howard.
Then I second. Do we need to vote?
Yeah, you should do a roll call vote on that.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Yes. Martin Belden.
Yes, to all of them.
Gaetan Brazino. Terry Byron. Ann Hollis.
Yes.
Henry Johnson.
Yes.
Rosie Carey.
Yes.
James Lewis?
Yes.
Melvin Morgan?
Yes, all of them.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Carol Rundell accepts all nominations so far. Michael St. Ords?
I accept all nominations, yes.
Gary Smith?
Yes.
Georgia Wise, are you available? It looks as though this has passed, Rosie. You do have a quorum in it.
All right. So now on to item 17, chair's appointments for secretary and chaplain. Any nominations for secretary?
Henry Johnson nominates Carol.
Just as kind of a point of order, you can carry out the process however you'd like a chair. But these are appointed positions, so you could go through the nomination process or just make appointments.
So do I have to make the appointment, or anyone can kind of nominate an appointment?
I'm sorry, just for a little bit of clarification. No, you would appoint.
The bylaws show that the chair.
Okay. Yeah, in this case, the chair would make the appointments. There isn't a nomination process for this.
Okay.
Henry Johnson. Thank Rosie, you. May I suggest Carol Rundell for that position?
Carol Rundell, do you accept your appointment? Sounds like an I do. Or it looks like an I do.
Okay, I was muted. I apologize. Yes, I do accept.
Thank you so much. And then for chaplain, I would like to continue Henry's appointment of chaplain. Henry,
I accept the appointment.
Thank you. All right, so we have those done. We don't need to vote on that one because it's appointments. All right, so number 18, any future agenda items?
You do need to do a roll call. I'm sorry.
Okay.
For the appointment, because it has to be where you made
the appointments of those two positions with the whole committee approving.
Okay. All right.
Am I on? Yes.
Henry Johnson.
Yes.
Dave Brazenio. Not in. Terry Byron has not come back. Ann Hollis.
Yes.
Henry Johnson.
Yes.
Rosie.
Yes.
Mark Levine, I don't believe, is still not here. James Lewis.
Yes.
Melvin Morgan.
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz.
Yes.
Carol Rundell says yes. Michael St. Orts.
Yes.
Gary Smith.
Yes.
Georgia Wise, I don't believe, has come back. I'm counting 10 yeses, so it looks as though you have it passed, Rosie.
Wonderful. Okay, so future agenda items. Obviously, the first one is moving the judge advocate voting for next one. Any other recommendations for future agenda items?
Henry Johnson, Keith Hamlet from the Bett Center speaking with us.
All right, any other? Okay. All right, so number 19, adjournment. Thank you guys so much. Sorry we didn't have a quorum last time, which made this one go a little bit longer, making sure we had Brian, you're still here. Brian's actually from the East Coast, so Vets Industry came to speak to us. So he's on East Coast time, so he really is putting in those extra hours for us, but we really thank you so much, Brian. Ayla, all our other guests that came and spoke tonight, we really appreciate it and hanging in there and everything. And again, this is what I love. Y'all make me look good at work because of that strong veteran community. So thank you guys so much. And next meeting is the 11th of January of 2023. So, all right.
Season greetings and blessings to all in your beliefs, and be safe.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry
and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year.
Safe New Year.
Merry Christmas. Safe Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. Yes.
Merry Christmas. Bye.
So just for the record, we'll call this meeting adjourned at 7:33 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
Mm-hmm.